Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Chris Buchanani. Chris, did you survive the 4th of July weekend?
Yeah, I had a great relaxing holiday. It's one of my top five holidays. I love the 4th of July. The uninspiring matchups of week zero are closer than ever, and I cannot wait.
Same here, same here. Did you get to fireworks?
Yeah. The 4th Fest here in State College at one time was the largest all-volunteer fireworks display in the country. I don't know if that's still the case post-COVID, but it's still very impressive, and I got to watch it. Free shout out to the good folks at University Wine Company. Do a great party up there, and I got to watch it from there. It was great. Really nice night.
Very good. Of course, where I was, it was dry all day, right up until it was fireworks time and started raining. So
that stinks.
Yeah. So I didn't get to do the fireworks, but it's great to have the long weekend, especially middle of the summer. But as you said, you hit middle of the summer. I think there's something about 4th of July and getting past it. It makes you feel like, all right, now college football is just around the corner, Chris.
Yeah, definitely. This is now like the meat of hashtag content season for guys like you and me.
It is. So let's get to our topic of the day. And I think this is going to be interesting. You actually brought up the idea, which I thought was a good idea until I looked into it a little bit. Then I began to think it was a great idea. And what you suggested, Chris, was taking a look at the quarterbacks throughout the Big Ten Conference. Obviously, the most important position on the field. With Penn State having Drew Aller there as second year as a starter, that's obviously very relevant and how he compares to everybody else in the conference. But let me start with this. You and I both did our deep dive into the quarterbacks throughout the conference. Just as an overview, what struck you the most in looking at the entire Big Ten list of quarterbacks?
Well, it's the most important position in the sport, right, Jim? And so I got this idea by just kind of casually starting to dig into the Phil Steele guide and, you know, some of the other preseason previews. And I start looking at the quarterback spot all around the league. And I could not believe, number one, the unbelievably high number of transfer quarterbacks. We'll get into it, but there are very, very few teams in the Big Ten that are planning to start a guy they actually recruited to campus and develop themselves. And then just overall, the turnover at the position. When you compare the quarterback spot at every other Big Ten school to what Penn State has in a blue chip guy they recruited in Drew Aller coming back for another season, the Nittany Lions are in a pretty unique position in terms of enjoying that degree of stability at the most important spot on the roster.
It really is. Now, I'm not sure I'm going to say this about every team because some of these names I didn't know them until I looked into it. But is there another team with a returning starter? I guess Cade McNamara you could think of as a returning starter, but he's also a transfer. As you pointed out, he wasn't recruited by Iowa. Where else do you go and see a returning starter, especially one that you recruited?
Nowhere. There are 18 teams in the conference, and Penn State is the only school who is returning a starter from the 2023 season who was a recruit to that program.
That I know the game is different today, Chris, than it was just a handful of years ago, let alone 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But I am stunned by that.
It's wild. Yeah. Now, one thing I did not do was go look at the other power conferences to see how it stacks up, whether that's just the nature of the position now in the transfer portal era. Certainly, to some extent, I'm sure that's true. You're just seeing way, way more quarterback movement than you used to. But again, it's hard to believe you could do any worse than 1 out of 17, right?
Well, you could get zero. So that's about it, I guess.
That would be shocking to me if there's a power conference with no one in the position Penn State is in. But, you know, I guess I wouldn't rule it out. But and to be clear, like, there are some schools like Oregon and Ohio State right off the top of my head that are set up very well with the transfer quarterbacks they've brought in. But there's always that degree of variability, right? It's an unknown. How is that guy going to fit in with that program, that offense? Is it all going to click? So it's not to say that it's a bad thing, but at the very least, it's fascinating, right? It's a fascinating number.
And it's at the very least, Chris, it's another variable that a team has to deal with. You know, I guess some people, you could call it, I'm dealing with the devil I know versus what I don't know. But there's no doubt it could work. You and I, we talked about this the other day. It's easy to point out some of the successes. Last year, Washington with Michael Penix, Oregon with Bo Nix. Those are the obvious ones where you had two quarterbacks who were established as a starter at their previous spot, but they wanted to move on to a better spot. Bo Nix, I think, was a bit of a disappointment at Auburn. A lot more was expected of him. And Michael Penix, I think you and I and all Penn State fans saw what he's capable of.
Sure.
But he was at Indiana. There was only so far he could go. His ceiling was only so high at Indiana. So there's different kinds of transfers. There's the guys who move because, hey, I'm not starting here. I was beaten out for the position. And then there's guys who move on where they are starters where they're at, but they're moving on for a better opportunity. And I'm pointing that out because we have a couple of those situations this season in the Big Ten.
Yep. Yeah, and right out of the gate, two of the programs I just mentioned, Ohio State and Oregon, are going to pin their hopes, in all likelihood, especially Oregon, on transfer quarterbacks. And in the upcoming segments, I know we're going to get into each program individually. Just to talk top-line numbers on this theme of turnover at the quarterback position and instability and change, here are three bullet points that I think are super interesting about quarterback across the Big Ten. Right now, 12 of the 17 teams that aren't Penn State. So we talked about Penn State. Let's take them out of it. 12 of the 17 conference peers of Penn State are planning to start a quarterback who joined the team through the transfer portal. And then there are another two in Maryland and Northwestern who have ongoing open quarterback competitions that will be settled this summer that also involve a transfer. So you could see up to 14 teams start a quarterback in week one who transferred into the program from outside. Now, I'm guessing that's going to go 50-50. I think Maryland's going to start their transfer. I think Northwestern's going to start an in-house guy. So I'm guessing 13 out of the 18 Big Ten teams are going to be rolling with a starter in week one. Only four of those teams have a returning starter. So, like, in your example, Cade McNamara transferred into the Iowa program, but he's a returning starter. Only four of the non-Penn State teams across the Big Ten are returning a starter, and only six have a presumed starter who was on their roster last season. And again, pending the result of those two open competitions, maybe that goes up one or two. But, yeah, like, a lot of flux at that critical position across the conference. And so I think, Jim, an interesting angle on that is, as you look at Penn State this year, you think about the potential for learning curve with Andy Kotelnicki and a new offensive coordinator coming in. Maybe across the conference, whatever we experience here in Happy Valley with the OC transition is offset by the amount of acclimation that all these new quarterbacks have to do in their situations. So maybe it turns out to be a wash.
That's an interesting point and an interesting perspective, one that I hadn't thought of. But yeah, it kind of leads to the next question, Chris, which is Penn State, and I will call it, has the advantage of a returning starter.
Yeah, no question.
How important is that?
Well, Again, you always have to add the massive asterisks of how does the receiver group develop, because that was one of the big factors holding Drew Aller back last season. I think we can all agree on that. I think it's hard to argue that when you look at the big picture of what's going on across the conference, that it doesn't translate into a massive advantage. Now, it's not fair, in my opinion, to compare every Penn State quarterback to Kerry Collins, because he's just such a gold standard in terms of the position at Penn State, probably the number one guy of all time for my money at quarterback for the Nittany Lions. But, you know, if you're old enough to remember, or at least you know your program history, he was a top draft pick who, you know, led one of the most potent offenses in college football history his last season at Penn State in 1994. But he started the 1993 season, and I don't think too many people who watched him in 93 maybe necessarily saw what he was going to become after an offseason of development. And if you look at the kind of player Drew Aller was in year one as a starter, it kind of tracks, right? And so I'm not predicting that's going to happen, but given his pedigree and given the skill players around him and the coaching we hope he's getting from Kotelniki, it's not unreasonable to suggest that Drew Aller could take a similar jump. And at the same time, practically every other school around the conference is going to be experiencing some growing pains breaking in a new guy at the spot. So, yeah, I think it's a big advantage.
I think it's an advantage. How big is, you know, my issue? And I'm not sure. You bring up, you know, Kerry Collins and what he did improving from 93 to 94. And I remember thinking to myself that he had a near perfect 94 season. By perfect, I don't mean he completed every single pass, but, you know, the mistakes were gone. The really bad passes were gone. All of that, there was such a difference. And I also remember thinking back in my years following Penn State, and I didn't look up the records to confirm this, but there always seemed to be so much more of a comfort level if you had a returning quarterback. Now, because of the transfer portal, so many guys moving, I guess the difference is, you know, when you're Ohio State and Oregon, and we're going to start with those two teams, Chris, they're bringing in a new quarterback, but they're not breaking in a new quarterback. These are guys with a plethora of starts. They just happen to have happened at another school. So the question becomes, how much does that experience translate? We will get to that and Chris's answer when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Chris Buccanani. I'm Jim Galante. Our topic of the day is quarterbacks. Quarterbacks in the Big Ten Conference. And Chris, let's start at the top of the pecking order, because it may be the two most fascinating situations when you combine what they're doing, who the names are that they're bringing in, and the level of the teams, which is at Oregon and Ohio State. They're both, depending on what ranking you're looking at, like top five in the country programs. Okay. Yeah. And I think you and I could agree on that. The quarterback, at least to start the season at both places, the quarterback that's going to start was not on their roster a year ago. They're not true freshmen. They're not newbies. They are transfer portals. Let's start with those two, Chris. Dylan Gabriel going into Oregon and Will Howard going into Ohio State.
Yeah, well, you asked about the importance of Drew Aller coming back. I think one of the advantages is, and we know, like James Franklin especially, I said, like, that dude fetishizes snap count. He loves guys who have been there and done that. And I that kind of endears him to me, frankly, because it reminds me of Joe. He was the same way. But there's some wisdom to that. There's no substitute for experience. And just having been through it and seen it, I mean, we all saw Drew did not really rise to the occasion of the big games last year. But you do hope that the experience of having gone through that allows him to do both some physical and mental preparation that allows him to perform differently this season. Both Will Howard and Dylan Gabriel have been through it. I mean, Gabriel's been at two other schools. He started at UCF. Then he went up and performed very well at Oklahoma last season. Will Howard has won a conference title at Kansas State. He won the 2022 Big 12 title and played very well last season. So when you take guys with that level of experience and the talent level that those players have, and you plug them into really good offenses with great players all around them, again, I don't know that that's necessarily a disadvantage. From Ohio State's perspective, let's talk about them for a minute. I have said that everything with Ohio State this year is set up for that team to win the national championship, but it is also like, you know, driving a wagon of nitroglycerin bottles down a cobblestone street, because there are so many, to me, different ways that situation could combust in Columbus this year with the intense pressure, all the money that was spent, the losing streak against Michigan, the turnover on the coaching staff, the turnover on the roster where you bring in a bunch of transfer guys who everyone in the locker room probably knows were brought there making a lot of money. There are a lot of different ways that high wire act could go bad. And one of them is this quarterback room, where I don't know that it's necessarily a blessing to have the depth chart they have, which you have the anointed starter in the transfer quarterback. We just talked about Will Howard, who comes in from K-State. But then you have two freshmen, Jim, who Phil Steele and a lot of the other rankings services had in the top five, top six in the country. So you have two freshmen who were ranked top five, top six at the position in Julian Sayin and Aaron Noland. And then you still have Devin Brown kicking around there, who himself was highly touted in his own regard, but, you know, is maybe a notch or two below by the standards of the Ohio State quarterback recruiting. That's a lot of alphas, and there's only one football.
Yes, and candidly, Chris, I was surprised that none of the quarterbacks there hit the portal already. Okay.
Indeed. Yeah. Everyone expected at the bare minimum Brown, who has been there for a while, to be in the portal. I think that guy has realized, you know, maybe the good thing to do is just sit back and enjoy the ride and collect my ring at the end of the season.
Well, and you could see that. What I picture is the season plays out. If it's Will Howard through the season, as you said, there's three guys who all expect to play. I would not be surprised if two out of the three transfer, because who's going to be the next guy? You kind of, by the end of the season, you're going to figure out who that next guy is going to be.
Yep.
And you don't want to be not that guy. That means you sit the rest of your career. So, they're still going to get the transfers. And over at Oregon, well, they also brought in Dante Moore that they brought in, very highly regarded, I believe it was from UCLA, came in. What a great quarterback situation they have. They bring in a Dylan Gabriel, who's obviously there just for this season. I'm assuming, Chris, it's his sixth year.
Okay. Yeah. I know everybody plays forever in the modern era of college football. This is it for Dylan Gabriel.
It's amazing. I looked up his stats a little bit. Do you realize that he has 50 starts already?
Yeah, it's crazy. You talk about comparing sports across eras. The COVID era college football stats have probably ruined the record books forever.
They have. So it's still, he's got that COVID year. I mean, talk about your veterans. This is, you know, 3 years at Central Florida, 2 years at Oklahoma, a starter in all 5 years. What, then those who may ask, wait a minute, if he got a COVID year, how's he still getting another year? It was a medical redshirt. Right. One of his years at Central Florida, he only played in three games. So that's how that happens. But if you're going to talk experience, Dylan Gabriel's your guy, Chris.
Yeah, and I think you look at what Dan Lanning did with Bo Nix last year. You brought it up in the last segment. That gives you some confidence that this guy knows how to plug a transfer quarterback into his system and get him up to speed. And you know, we'll see. I do think one of the very, very interesting subplots of the 2024 season is going to be how do these Pac-12 transplant teams hold up to playing a Big Ten defense every week? Like you and I talked about, like Iowa and Minnesota are going to beat you up in a way that Arizona and Arizona State did not. So even if you win the game, do you get more physically ground down over the course of nine conference games than you did playing in the Pac-12? But yeah, I think Oregon actually maybe has a better situation in one respect than Ohio State because there's a clear pecking order. You're not maybe going to have as much tension and fighting for that one football because Dylan Gabriel's the guy. He's going to be the guy as long as he stays healthy. You have a guy who you think could step in and play very well if you had to in Dante Moore, but Moore went there with the understanding that, okay, I'm next in line. But either way, I think the two teams at the top of the conference, irrespective of bringing in new guys who were not part of the roster last year, I think they're both set up pretty well.
How good a fit is Will Howard at Ohio State?
I don't know that he's hand in glove. When I looked at his stats from last year, he actually moves around pretty well. He tallied 351 rushing yards, and I think that Ryan Day, much like James Franklin, frankly, is a coach who's more comfortable with a dual-threat quarterback. I would not be shocked, again, depending on how either one of those blue chippers is coming along. Saiyan probably is the guy most people will pay attention to. That I don't think it's unthinkable that even if they keep winning, you might see a quarterback transition happen. It's really all about how they're winning. Like I said, the pressure to win there is intense. Intense. If they don't win the national championship, I think Ryan Day loses his job. So I don't know that Will Howard's a perfect fit, but I think they probably just love the guy's experience.
Well, I think he has to beat Michigan. He has to win the Big Ten. The only way he gets away with not winning the Big Ten is if he wins then a national championship.
Sure.
If he wins the Big Ten, say gets to the national championship final and loses to Georgia, I'd find it hard to get rid of a guy in that situation. But to your point, the pressure is going to be so intense on Ryan Day in that program that forces you to make decisions quicker than you normally would. And maybe not as good a decision and well thought out a decision as you make. And you and I were chatting about this. I think Ohio State plays Oregon fairly early in the season. That may be the game where Will Howard establishes himself that he's the quarterback for the rest of the season, or he's not.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. And even if they lose that game, even if he's not benched the next week, his leash is super short from that point forward. If he doesn't play well.
Yes. If someone can be pointing at him as the reason that they lost the game.
Right.
Now, I don't want to start getting into Drew Aller right now as we have just a couple minutes left in quarter number two, but I feel pretty comfortable with Drew Aller out of the conversation. Dylan Gabriel, Will Howard, you got to put at the top of the pecking order. And like I said, we're going to bring Drew Aller into the conversation. But before we do, is there any other quarterback in the conference who belongs in the conversation, Chris?
That is a great question. So if I had to pick one, and this is kind of projecting to be sure, I would probably look at Miller Moss at USC only because of, you know, the unbelievable track record of developing coaches, or excuse me, developing quarterbacks that Lincoln Riley has. Like, when you take just in isolation the fact that Moss came in, looked pretty good in his relief appearance in the regular season, absolutely bombed Louisville with six touchdown passes in their bowl game, and he's being coached by a guy who runs an offense that produced multiple Heisman Trophy winners and first overall picks in the NFL. If I'm looking at it, I'm saying, like, okay, all of these guys have question marks, but I know Lincoln Riley can coach up quarterbacks. And the small sample size we have of Miller Moss is that he looked pretty strong in that offense, despite he reportedly had some struggles in the spring that didn't match how he looked at the end of last season. That'd be the guy I would think of.
It was fascinating to me, Chris, also in looking through the roster of quarterbacks, it's not very impressive, is it?
True to Big Ten form, it's going to be a lot of great running backs and defenses for sure.
Tell me about the quarterbacks. Well, the defenses are really good.
Yeah, let me tell you about our linebackers.
Exactly. It was stunning to me in going through this list how underwhelming it was, and it kind of tells you why the teams that are at the top are at the top. I told you we'll get into Drew Aller, but I also want to ask you about the Michigan situation. We're going to do that when we come back after this break for quarter number three, Chris. So stay tuned for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Chris. I'm Jim. We're talking about the quarterbacks of the Big Ten. We got through Oregon and Ohio State. Should we agree, Chris, Dillon Gabriel, Oregon, probably put him number one in the conference?
I think that is a very reasonable slot for him based on what we know about his ability and the talent and coaching around him, yes.
Okay. Let's get to Drew Aller and his place among the big three. First of all, he's the one guy who's the returning starter. We talked about how important that was. And I may as well ask you this question first, Chris. We want to see improvement in Drew Aller. If you look at his stats from last year, you know, James Franklin wants to talk about, 25 touchdowns versus two interceptions, threw for 2,600 yards. Really impressive. The problem, Chris, is what happened against Michigan? What happened against Ohio State? And, oh, by the way, there were a couple other games that were underwhelming also. Against Illinois, he completed less than 50% of his passes. So there were a couple other clunkers in all this also. So for Drew Aller to make the next step, is it more about Drew Aller making that step, or is it his wide receivers and offensive coordinator?
Obviously, he needs to improve as a player. Every young quarterback does. But I really do think, Jim, a lot of the blame, in my opinion, the bulk, the majority, at least 51% will say, has to go to the pass catchers. Like you just said, you brought up that Illinois game. Well, if you remember, McClain dropped two passes that were right in his hands, and that plays into the services that go back and hand track these things. Drew Aller had more drops than any quarterback in the country.
I do want to interject one thing. In addition, those weren't just two drops. Those were drops that would have been first downs.
Yes.
And they stopped those drives, okay?
Yep.
So if it was first down and you still got the first down after that, Chris, I don't want to say they're irrelevant completely, but it may not matter. You only have a finite number of possessions, and that was those two drops cause you to lose two possessions.
Yes. And there are drops, and then there are drops. Okay. There are situations where I'm on the run or I'm in a contested catch situation and I have the ball in my hands, and absolutely a Division I recruit should pull it down and I don't. And then there are just comeback routes where I'm barely moving and there's no one around me and I just drop it like I'm playing catch in the backyard. And those are some of the drops, like those two in the Illinois game I'm thinking of for, in particular, that plagued Drew Aller last year. And so in terms of trying to rank him against his peers in the conference, I do think you have to look at, like I just did with Dylan Gabriel, the talent around them and what you can expect. He lost both starting offensive tackles. He is a new coordinator. We think tight end is going to be a strength, but they've not done a whole heck of a lot to appreciably upgrade the receiver position. We don't really know what we're getting in Julian Fleming. We're hoping that's going to work out. But in terms of a known commodity, we don't know really. And so I think if I'm doing a net evaluation of the talent around him, it might be a tick lower than it was last season. And yes, he can make a jump from year one to year two, but we have not seen him transcend the limitations of the guys around him just yet. We haven't seen him do it in a game that matters. So yeah, I put him a little bit below some of these other guys in the conference right now. That said, I don't feel bad at all about where Penn State is at the quarterback spot going in. And in fact, before I did the research for this show, I felt maybe a little bit worse about it than I do right now.
Well, what do you expect from Drew Aller? Do you expect, especially with the new offensive coordinator, with the, I'm not sure there was this big influx of talent at wide receiver. It may have been more addition by subtraction, Chris. What are you anticipating? What are you going to predict we're going to see from Drew Aller?
I expect him to be improved in terms of how he performs, how he looks as a quarterback from last season. But I don't even know that he's going to improve on his win-loss record from last year. And I definitely do not expect to exit the season speaking his name in the same breath as Kerry Collins and Trace McSorley and Todd Blackledge.
Gotcha. All right, let's look at the other team that's supposed to, in another one of our shows, Chris, I put the four teams that I thought separated themselves from everybody else in the conference, which was Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and Michigan. Those were the four elite teams. We've talked about three of those four teams with their quarterbacks. And just off the top of my head, I would say those are the three best quarterbacks also in the conference.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
What about where Michigan is with their quarterback position?
Yeah, so Michigan is really interesting, right? They have so much turnover all over their roster, and then, of course, they make the change at head coach. I think all the people who are predicting a downward trend for Michigan, I think they're spot on. Like, it's, to me, it's hard to imagine they're not going to have a drop-off. Even if you just kind of looked at all those factors in a vacuum, you would say, oh, yeah, that team – you know, it's anonymous team with these situations is probably going to drop off. But then when you think about what we've talked about before, Jim, which is that Jim Harbaugh was such a critical element in terms of identifying the type of player he wanted so he could win a national championship with recruiting classes that were not consistently ranking in the top five. I don't know that over the long haul, Sherrone Moore is going to have that same knack. Like, you just look at the last 20 years of the sport, it doesn't seem like precedent suggests that's very common at all. So, I think they're going to take a drop off. And so they're one of the few teams that's just rolling with an in-house guy in Alex Orji, who I know they like a lot and played a little bit last season. But truly, I think a genuine dual threat guy, and you at least got to see him get involved in the offense in various ways last year, but you don't feel great, probably. Like, you don't look at him and say, like, oh man, he's going to be in the conversation of the best quarterbacks in the conference. And then their backups are to a large extent, journeyman type guys. I actually brought in Jack Tuttle, who like hardcore fans might remember from Indiana. Indiana. And he was actually at Utah before that. It's kind of a journeyman guy. They've got a true freshman named Jaden Davis, who I think they think is the future of the position there. But I think if his name is getting tossed around, even in fan conversations about somebody who should get appreciable playing time, things are not looking good in Ann Arbor.
No, and I think the best thing Michigan has going for them is they're Michigan. So, but I'm not sure we all appreciate just what Jim Harbaugh accomplished in this era of college football, where there was such a direct line between recruiting success and national championships. And all you got to do is look at Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, what they've done and how that translates onto the field. And Michigan, they were able to break through that. And the thing is, it wasn't this fluke. It wasn't, you know, TCU somehow made it into the playoffs and then caught lightning in a bottle. Michigan's been good the last couple of years. They've been able to beat Ohio State 3 years in a row. So I didn't mean to get off tangent. We're talking about quarterbacks, but
no, and look, you can't change your offensive identity overnight in college football, nor would you want to. And Sherrone Moore clearly is another guy who likes to run the sort of offense that Jim Harbaugh liked to run. And, you know, you remember all the talk about J.J. McCarthy and the Heisman early last season. Well, yeah, that guy looked like a Heisman candidate when they were playing the clown car portion of their schedule, which was like the first nine games they played, with the exception of throwing three picks against Bowling Green. Hopefully we won't see that happen in our game against the Falcons this year, Jim. But once they got into the tough part of the schedule, he came down to earth. But the advantage that they had was they could play Penn State and run the ball 75 times in the second half. And Donovan Edwards, I think, he's been on a little bit of a downward trajectory, in my opinion, in terms of how he's looked. So losing Blake Corum and, you know, being able to losing that unique aspect of that 1-2 punch they enjoyed the last few years, that was a quarterback's best friend. And I'm not sure that their run game, both in terms of what they're doing at the line of scrimmage and just the guys they have the tailback position, is going to give as much of a security blanket to Orji as McCarthy enjoyed when he was having a rough day. They could just say, well, you know what? We're just not going to throw the ball at all. And we're going to keep moving it. We're going to keep moving the sticks.
I will tell you this, though, about J.J. McCarthy, and I think you have to watch him live to appreciate it. It doesn't always translate into numbers, but he'll find a way to beat you. There's a couple of those third and longs where he ran the ball for the first down against Penn State. He finds a way to beat you. It's almost like, you know, Trace McSorley would find a way to beat you. It felt the same way about J.J. McCarthy, and, you know, not many guys have that. All right, so then where's the best of the rest, Chris? Where do you go from here? Probably the next level team after we talk about these four is USC, and we're back to talking about Miller Moss. Is he the next guy? I think better than Alex Orji. Is Miller Moss actually next after the big three that we mentioned in Will Howard, Drew Aller, and Dylan Gabriel?
Yeah, I think it's fair to project him there, just again, based on what we're thinking their offense might be at USC. Another guy I look at, actually, who I think could put up some nice numbers, actually, is Will Rogers, the quarterback at Washington, in that he's a transfer who came in from Mississippi State, who had tremendous success in the air raid offense under Mike Leach, and then kind of struggled last year when they went to more of a pro style set. But remember Jed Fish, who, you know, lit the world on fire at Arizona last year, is now the coach at Washington. And he seems like the type of coach who schematically could get more out of less from a talent perspective. And he brings in a guy who knows how to run that type of offense. So Will Rogers is another interesting name if you're looking for a dark horse in the Big Ten this year.
It is an interesting name, but Washington has a lot of Michigan in them. In that,
lost a lot of talent, for sure.
Talent, coach, quarterback, star player, star wide receiver, all gone. it's difficult to think of Washington as being what they were a year ago. All right, Chris, we still have the rest of the league to look at. We'll do that when we come back for quarter number four. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Chris. I'm Jim. We were going through our Big Ten quarterbacks. We got through Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, USC, Michigan, Washington with their quarterback situations, Chris. Those are probably the guys who are relevant, the guys that are important. That leaves us about a dozen quarterbacks. Is there any of them that really matter? Who's the guy among that group that we should be keeping an eye on? I have a name in my head. I want to know who you have.
Okay, well, I'm going to name four teams who I think have a chance to maybe surprise people and make some noise in the Big Ten this year. I'll talk briefly about their quarterback situation. You could tell me if I picked your guy in any of these four, and then maybe we can circle back on a few of them. First out of the gate, a lot of attention at Nebraska. Their schedule sets them up to maybe do some things this year. And they've got perhaps their most highly touted recruit of all time, a legacy guy that Matt Rhule worked very, very hard to flip from Georgia, Dylan Raiola. Wisconsin, we're all looking to see what they can do under year two of Luke Fickell. Really interesting to Penn State because we've got to go out to Madison in the meat of our schedule. They bring in Tyler Van Dyke from Miami, who was very highly touted down in Coral Gables out of his first year. He started as a freshman and then kind of regressed over the next 2 years. So interesting to see what happens there. Iowa, again, a schedule-based team, could make some noise because of the teams they don't play. They're returning Cade McNamara, who, at least if nothing else, you could say the guy is experienced, although he's struggled with injuries and probably isn't going to be ready to be a full go even until summer camp starts. But then they also made a move to bring in Brendan Sullivan from Northwestern, who, you know, gave Penn State a little bit of a hard time last season and played better and better as the year went on. So they've got some solid depth in their quarterback room. And again, Iowa, I bring them up because they're going to have a good defense and they do not have a murderer's row schedule. And then once again, you're going to hear over and over again, Jim, the sleeper team in the Big Ten to just surprise people based on brand versus results is Rutgers, because they miss all four of what we think will be the top four teams in the conference in their schedule this year. And their non-con is not difficult. If they can win at Virginia Tech, they're a legit threat to win nine games this season. And they're starting a transfer from Minnesota, Ethan Kaliakmanis, who I don't particularly care for as a player, but probably a little bit of an upgrade from Wimsett, the starter they had last year. So those are four guys who I think are just interesting quarterback situations, because one of those teams is probably going to break out from the pack and do a little bit better than people are expecting. And if Iowa wants to stay in the conversation, they need one of those two guys I mentioned to play well, and obviously much better than they did on offense last year.
Well, a couple of the teams that you mentioned, they're the old Big Ten West group, you know, with Wisconsin and Iowa and Nebraska. It's like, who's the best of that bunch, you know, and it's the same discussion.
And remarkably, they're still somehow playing a soft schedule in 2024 with the divisions gone.
Yes, they are. And I think whoever, you know, those rivalry games, those are against each other. I don't think anyone is setting up, you know, those teams against Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State as rivalry games. So, and you pointed out also, Iowa is, they play Ohio State. And again, I'm going to go back to, you know, our discussion a week or two ago where I set up, here are the four big, the big four of the conference, and Iowa gets to only play one of them.
Yeah.
Rutgers gets to play none of them. So it's a tremendous scheduling advantage, which I'm predicting by the end of the season, these schedules, it's going to be a big story, not just in the Big Ten, but also in the Southeast Conference. And it does give the opportunity for some of these quarterbacks to stand out. And you mentioned with Iowa and Cade McNamara, again, an experienced guy. We know they're going to have the good defense. How much does Cade McNamara have to do where, Chris, they could be a 10-win team pretty easily. And, you know, the quarterback could be a game manager and look like, you know, an All-American. I'm fascinated.
And from a profile perspective, Sullivan does not look that much different from McNamara in that regard. So if you're looking at this, if you're, you know, you're Iowa and you're saying, okay, what do we need? We need a game manager quarterback. They've got two of them who have taken extensive snaps and won games in the Big Ten. So they're pretty well set in their quarterback room for what they need.
And I'm fascinated by Wisconsin and Nebraska with their coaching situation. Second-year coaches, as you mentioned, Matt Rhule worked really hard to get that big-time quarterback. And they got it in Dylan Riola. Chris, is Nebraska going to be disappointed? Is this guy going to start as that true freshman? Is he going to start right off the bat? Do they turn the page and say, here, kid, here's the keys to the car?
I think so, personally. Now, they do have a returning quarterback who saw some, you know, who saw some snaps. Heinrich Harburg, I think I'm saying his name correctly. I mean, that guy was, I kind of love him. Like, it's sort of the way Kirk Shiraka used Will Levis. It's really more like a fullback who can also throw the football. It's possible Matt Rhule says, okay, we're going to let the veteran, you know, go out and at least have his cursory start in week one. But when I gave you those numbers at the top of the show, just to reiterate for anybody who's listening on the radio and just came back in, we're talking quarterbacks in the Big Ten, not taking Penn State out of it. 12 of the other 17 teams in the conference are set to start a transfer quarterback. Two of the others, Maryland and Northwestern, have quarterback competitions with a transfer involved. Only four have a returning starter, and six presume a starter who was on their roster last season. I assumed, and I think this is what we're going to see, is that Riola is going to be the starter right from the opening snap of the season.
I think if you're Nebraska, if the kid and quarterbacks and players in general are coming into college football much more prepared than they used to be.
Absolutely.
And especially those quarterbacks who are at the top end, the highly rated one, they're the ones who have individual quarterback coaches. They're the ones going to these quarterback camps. They're the ones who've gotten that kind of collegiate level training already. If I'm Nebraska, it's not like you're Ohio State and you're, you know, one loss kills your whole season. I would live with the growing pains of the freshman.
And things again, have gone so poorly for Nebraska over the last few years. It's not like you're competing against expectations at this point. The fans want to see the kid play. He had a great spring. Just roll with him, and that's your future. Develop from day one.
Exactly. That's what I would do. I think Matt Rhule is going to get there, if not right off the bat, first game. Within a couple games, or he's going to bring them in to play significant snaps. I think you have to. And that with that pedigree, he's probably already the best quarterback on day one, Chris.
I think so. I do.
Okay. That it's fascinating to me that, Chris, we've like barely gotten through half the quarterbacks in the conference. What is that? The rest of them, is there anybody even worth talking about? Is there a best of the rest?
A couple other intriguing names, I guess. Just, you know, look, I think everybody, myself included, is expecting an underwhelming season from UCLA, but they are returning a guy who played for them last year in Ethan Garbers. So that's a guy that you can look at and say if UCLA is going to surprise anybody, at least they have some stability at the quarterback position. Michigan State brings in Aiden Giles, who transferred over from Oregon State with his head coach, Jonathan Smith, and played, by the way, played really, really well for the Beavers. So I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that Michigan State surprises people in that I'm seeing them being projected to be in the absolute basement of the conference. Maybe they can work their way up to the middle of the pack if Chiles clicks well with his head coach who came in there. I don't, but yeah, again, man, it's not just the player, it's the talent around them. Like, and who's really worth talking about when you've got limited time on our radio show here?
Well, Michigan State is kind of interesting in that the new coach coming in from Oregon State seems like a pretty good hire. Although this is a guy bailing out of a team that was just left behind by the Pac-12.
Right.
But it's always part of the conversation now is I will bring up a team's schedule. We talked about someone like Rutgers playing none of the big four, Iowa only playing one of them. Have you looked at Michigan State's schedule?
I haven't looked at it closely, no.
Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, and Iowa. So I think because Penn State's not playing them, we've kind of ignored their schedule and ignored them, understandably so. But that's a team, you know, that's a big three that they're playing against with Ohio State.
Yeah,
Oregon,
yeah. I mean, you would
Michigan.
Think they'd be extremely fortunate to go 1-3 against those four teams.
Yeah. And, you know, and their best shot is probably Iowa.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's the fascinating thing to me. And I'll tell you what, in doing this review of the quarterbacks throughout this conference, it makes me think, you know, the Big Ten has a ways to go to match up with the Southeast Conference, Chris.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is correct. But if I were going to cinch it up and give everyone a punchline, again, we're a Penn State show from Penn State's perspective. Irrespective of issues at the receiver position and turnover at the coordinator position, which we hope is going to be an improvement, the stability and experience from within the program that we have at the quarterback position is a distinguishing feature of the 2024 Nittany Lions. So it's the summer. We're going to be optimistic, and we're going to say that gives us an edge.
I agree, Chris, and I think the changeover at offensive coordinator – I know you could argue the other side. Well, if you're unhappy with the offense, you change it over entirely. I think James Franklin, this is the type of thing that he's good at, that set up that organization, you know, to create terminology that everyone's okay with, be able to translate the old into the new. I think James Franklin, he's process oriented, and I think he'll make this process work. I think that will be helpful to it also. And yes, a returning Drew Aller is an advantage over most of the rest of the Big Ten. Chris, that's it for the show. A lot of fun. Thank you, Chris, and thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.